When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Brenzi, and I'm on the grid, and so is the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, and so will Lou from Gamblu.com in a couple of minutes. We've got a lot of stuff to get to this evening. We've got a basketball game coming up in less than 30 minutes' time, a critical basketball game for the Milwaukee Bucks. They don't want to find themselves in the same situation that the Toronto Raptors are in right now, down two games to none. And for the record, only 7% of teams in NBA history who are down two games to none go on to win the series. The last team to actually do it were the Toronto Raptors last year against the Milwaukee Bucks. So the Bucks in tough against a scorching red-hot Miami Heat basketball team. We got the coolest two words in sports tonight besides Moneyline Hits, and that's Game 7.
I like Moneyline Hits.
Cam Stewart. Yeah. I was thinking about that. You always hear that, Cam, the two best words in sports.
Words in sports.
Game 7. I'm thinking, I don't know, parlay hits, money line wins. It's a couple other two words, too.
Yeah. Golfer wins, because I know it's usually going to be over 10 or 12 to 1 or more. No, I'm with you, Gabe, but this is a really big basketball game. You said it, and Milwaukee's got to figure it out. This is a team that, you know, people talked about, oh, they're going to breeze through the East and whatever. Like, Boston looks great right now, the Miami Heat. Like, this is a team that has a lot of pressure on them, and I see the line has gone, opened up at 5, up to 5.5, and now 6 on FanDuel. I'm thinking about taking Miami again. I really trust Jimmy Butler in this team. Milwaukee, they have to bring their A game, but there's no guarantee they're going to win this game. I might just take the points. I expect it to be a pretty tight game, Gabe.
Well, I'll tell you what, Cam, if you ask anybody right now who's going to be playing in Eastern Conference Finals, they'll tell you it's going to be the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat, which means it's going to be the Milwaukee Bucks and the Toronto Raptors.
The Toronto Raptors.
Because a couple of days ago, people were talking about how soft and heartless Denver were. And now Denver, the 12th team in NBA history to come back from a 3-1 deficit. A lot of basketball left to be played in the Miami-Milwaukee series. A lot of basketball left to be played in the Toronto-Boston series. Except Game 3 is an absolutely positively must-win basketball game for the Toronto Raptors. We have a Game 7 tonight, Oklahoma City and Houston. And, you know, I'm actually pretty fired up for this game tonight. And I'm surprised the point spread is as high as it is. We'll break that down. And we also have another eliminator tonight in the National Hockey League, Dallas Stars and the Colorado Avalanche. And Cam, I'll take the accolades now if you want to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
As I told you, the Vancouver Canucks were not going to roll over. And I told you the Vegas Golden Knights took the pedal off the metal against the Chicago Blackhawks, and it all added up to a nice plus 210 win.
Big win. I will say this. Thatcher Demko, I'll give Travis Green and that staff credit. Markstrom was tired. They rolled out this guy with like no playoff experience, and he stood on his head, man. He was fantastic. And what's the story of the NHL playoffs right now? Second and third string goalies. You see the matchup for tonight. Colorado's going back to Hutch, and Bishop is starting for Dallas, which is interesting because he got pulled from that game after the Avalanche scored five goals in the first period. So should be interesting, but kudos to you, man. That was a great pick with Vancouver. I thought Vegas would get it done, but hey, man, Vancouver's a gritty team.
I give a lot of credit to Travis Green. Big fan of Travis Green. The Vancouver Canucks have a bright future ahead of them. I like what he did, too. I don't know if you saw before the game. They put, like, different words on everybody's sticks and stuff.
Stick, yeah.
And basically,
I love it.
Like, they made it fun. It was like, you know what? It's like the last day of school or something. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates. I am Gable Morenci. You are listening to Game Time Decisions. I'm kicking it with a raging redhead Cam Stewart. LouGamblou.com. We'll step up in it. We got the Milwaukee Bucks and the Miami Heat. We're on the clock. We'll give you some picks and props. We got a game seven on tap. And they say that the two coolest words in sports are game seven. I disagree. I think money line hits, parlay wins, I win. are all better, but hey, game seven is right there. Game seven is right there. Yeah, Oklahoma City and the Houston Rockets throw it down tonight. We've been slaying the strikeout props all week on the program, and we've got four or five more strikeout prop plays for you this evening. We've got a baseball pick that's coming up in about 25, 35 minutes time. As well, Cam's been killing it on the links. We've got golf picks. We've got UFC picks. We've got NBA picks. And we've got NHL picks. We've got a lot of picks on the program today, Cam. And I tell you what, this golf tournament as well, very, very interesting format in which basically the best players have a lead. Like Dustin Johnson's got a two-shot lead over John Rahm. And then John Rahm's got a two-shot lead over Webb Simpson and so forth. So it sort of seems complicated, but it really isn't when you break it down, and we'll help break it down for you. And both me and Cam both had John Rahm last week, so I look forward to seeing what you come up with this week, Cam.
Yeah, it's an interesting tournament. You said it, Gabe. It's basically the top guy starts at minus 10, and the players 26 to 30 start at even. So there's a 10-shot discrepancy between the leader of the FedEx Cup and the guys at the bottom. But remember, it's still a four-round tournament. So if you want to get a little bit of value, maybe taking a guy at 6 and 7 to 1, you could make up four or five strokes in four rounds of golf. And I'll tell you something, Gabe. I'm not sure if we're reading each other's mail again, but we'll go through all the picks. But watch out for Webb Simpson. One of these guys, he skipped last week to play for this tournament. He basically said, I'm going to give up a chance to win $1.5 million to try to win 15. Maybe he's got something up his sleeve. This course might play to his strengths. Ball, striking, approach, putting. He's got the whole thing. It's not just a bomber's paradise here at East Lake. A lot of different players can win. I like Webb Simpson.
$15 million to the winner. $45 million in total in prize money.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game Time Decision continues. I am Morenci. We're kicking it with a raging redhead, Cam Stewart. We got a cool night tonight. We got a game 7 coming up a little bit later on. We got a pretty big game 2 coming up in a couple of minutes with the Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks. We've got, what is it, a game 6 Stanley Cup playoff game tonight with the Stars and the Avalanche. The Vancouver Canucks have managed to extend their series to 6 games with the Vegas Golden Knights. And we got a full slate of Major League Baseball, the Tour Championship, the PGA Tour, basically. It's their playoff, the FedEx Cup and all that. $15 million to the winner. There's $45 million on the table. It's an interesting format in which, you know, the top-ranked players have a lead over the other players. So I look forward to Cam's take on, like, what's the cutoff of what do you think a guy is, like, you know, is it 6 back? Is it 4 back? Because I'm with you. I think Webb Simpson at minus 6. Dustin Johnson starts at 10 under. John Rahm starts at 8 under. Webb Simpson's at 6 under. He's definitely right there. And as you stated, there's not a cut. There's 4 rounds of golf to be played. So it's, you know, and a lot of things can happen. So I look forward to breaking this down. And we'll give you guys the odds for the tournament as well, of course, courtesy of FanDuel. But I tell you what, Cam, this Miami-Milwaukee game and series, it's really upsetting me. I'm not going to lie. I'm one of the idiots out there originally that said, like, you know, 10 days ago, and, you know, we have a promo running on this network about, you know, that's been running for like 2 months about me talking about how the Milwaukee Bucks are vulnerable. I don't like the supporting cast. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like their coach. I don't like their supporting cast. You can't trust the other guys to hit shots. They're too flaky. They don't play defense. I could go on. And then when I'm watching Miami play, I'm like, man, Miami are going to beat these guys. Like, Miami are better than Milwaukee are right now. They're hungrier. It's sort of like Boston. They're hungrier than Toronto are right now. You know, these guys, those teams want what Toronto has, like the glory. They want the ring. They want the hype. They want what the Greek Freak, oh, everyone says you're the best player. Jimmy Butler's all business. And all you need to know, guys, about Jimmy Butler, how about this, Ken? So, you know, over the weekend, of course, the families were allowed to arrive in the bubble. And, you know, either girlfriend close to you, not an Instagram model you just met, you're trying to hook up with, but longtime girlfriend or family allowed to live with you in the bubble now. Jimmy Butler basically said no visitors.
Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler said, awesome. You know what? He goes, I'm on a business trip. He goes, I know, no disrespect to anybody else, but he goes, I ain't here for Disneyland. He goes, I'm here to win an NBA championship. He goes, I don't have time for visitors right now.
I couldn't agree more.
I told my loved ones, I'll see them when I get out of the bubble. And no, that's all I need to know.
That's right.
Like, he's for real. He's not just a fake, you know, some guys will pretend they work hard for the camera. Not Jimmy Butler. He's the real deal, Cam.
Oh, for sure. Think about this. Like, even when Van Fleet's kids arrive, it's, hey, honey, nice to see you. Dad, Disneyland. Hey, take us around the bubble. That's the thing. I agree with Jimmy Butler. You're not a cold-hearted guy. You're there to do a job. And let me tell you, from a guy that has a girlfriend and stuff, your mind will be all over the place. You need 100% focus on this stuff. You can't be going, hey, are we going to go here? Are we going to go here? Can we pick this up? What about this?
Mike Milbury, you know, was like, right. And Mike Milbury got ran
out of
town.
Yes, he was. Yeah, well, that's the thing. What Mike Milbury said more offensive things like the other 150 times than that one, and he gets fired for something that it's not even offensive. Yes, guys will get distracted with women. How the hell is that? How is that offensive? Yes, they will get distracted. That's fact.
And not
that's
just
not
women,
a sexist
children,
comment.
Kids, yeah, dogs.
I know. Dad, take the dog out for a walk. Bark. You know what I mean? You got to play basketball. Jimmy Butler's in his room just staring at the wall. Let's play. Let's beat the Bucks. That's what you want, Gabe. I agree.
It is. And you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, and, you know, so where I'm going with this is I like Miami. I thought Miami could win. Then I walked right into a trap, Cam. I got too cute. I was like, you know what? The entire world is on the Miami Heat, +5 in game 1. Milwaukee have never been like a 5-point favorite in 3 years in a basketball game. I'm taking Milwaukee. And look what happened in the first quarter. Milwaukee puts a 40 spot up, and I'm like, ah, oh, man, I'm so smart. I knew it. I knew it was a trap. And then and then Miami just blew them out. So now I'm almost screwed. I almost have to go back with Milwaukee when I like Miami coming into the series.
No, you don't.
My quandary here?
Your logic is flawed. You didn't waver from Vancouver Canucks. You put your foot down and said, I'm taking this dog at this price and whatever. Don't let the public or anything else fool you. There's no law that says, hey, Milwaukee has to come back and win this game.
They can lose this game too.
The public might just be getting a sniff. Like, I don't know, Gabe. I find it hard to be getting betting on Milwaukee right now. Look at the Raptors. They were, you know, I was almost dead sure they were going to tie it up. That things happen, right? They can go down 2-0 in this series. And the line's gone up to 6. I don't know, man. It's just, I'm just not rushing to the window to bet Milwaukee. Yeah, like, I don't like that.
The Sharps. I know. No, look, it's basically the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat are now 5-0 in the playoffs. They haven't lost a game. Yep. They swept. And you know what? I think they basically have won, like, every game by double digits. Like, 9 points, 11 points. Like, they're not just, like, they're not even winning buzzer beaters. Like, they're beating you. They step up defensively. They hit key shots. Yeah, it feels like Jimmy Butler scored 60, not 40. But he scored 40. Goran Dragic scored 27.
Dragic is awesome.
Are they going to combine for 67 points tonight, Cam? I say no.
But the thing is, Gabe, all the other guys in their team didn't do anything. Like Duncan Robinson didn't do his thing. Other guys didn't. It was Dragic and Jimmy Butler. And other guys in that team have the ability to step up and do more. Miami's a team. You saw what happened when Milwaukee went cold. That game was tight the whole time. And the minute Miami got up by 5 or 6, they pulled away. They just extended the lead, 6, 8, 10, 11. They just get that, and that's the thing. And Milwaukee, that's not a good recipe because what do they do when they're down? Bomb three, clank. It's not cool. They need to, almost like we talk about horse racing, a perfect ride there. If this game is tight, advantage Miami Heat because these guys actually know how to win down the stretch. I don't trust Milwaukee's system.
You know what? They're also missing Eric Bledsoe.
They are.
You know, yeah, and even if Eric Bledsoe was there, it would be the same thing. Listen, Milwaukee struggled, Cam, ever since they got to the bubble. This isn't a post-boycott protest situation. They lost as 19.5-point favorites to Brooklyn. Yes. Right? They were the biggest. It was the biggest upset in 27 years in the NBA. Like, in Milwaukee are just, their body language is bad. Very similar to Toronto. Their body language is bad. They seem disengaged suddenly for one reason or another. And it's very, you know, it's baffling. It's hard to read. So a prop I am looking at here tonight. And, you know, one guy that did step up was Chris Middleton the other night. All right. Chris Middleton did. His 3-point prop tonight, Cam, 3-point shots made for Chris Middleton is 2.5. He's hit 3 or more in 4 straight basketball games. I expect Middleton to have another good night here tonight. And Jimmy Butler dropped 40 in game 1. I left it on the table. I'm going to take his prop tonight. It's 22.5. I don't think he scores 40, but I can see him getting 26, 27. I think it is a higher scoring game tonight. That game nearly went over the number, dude, the other night. And Milwaukee had like 98 points. It was a weird game. Milwaukee had 40 points out of the gate, and they had 98 points with like 2.5 minutes left. And it still nearly went over the number. Milwaukee played better tonight. I'm taking the Milwaukee Bucks to win the game, parlayed with the Oklahoma City Thunder, Cam, plus the points, plus 174. That's my play.
I got no problem with that. That's the thing. Like, I think Houston might win this game tonight, but for them to win by 6 is asking a lot. I'll tell you, Chris Paul, the way he looks and feels too, like, it's personal with Harden and these guys too. And he basically took a shot at his old team. These guys aren't clutch. They never come through in big games. I got Dennis Schroeder, my guy. Like, that was a subtle hint at those guys saying, you guys can never get it done in important situations. I think Oklahoma City can hang around and win this game outright too. Tough game though.
I think they can. I think they can win this game outright as well. And I was thinking about putting him in a money line parlay, but it's just so many points. I want to grab the points. Picks and props next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Roberto Clemente by all wearing number 21 on September the 9th, which I think is a great idea, but would it make more sense to do it on September the 21st? Like 21? I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah, you're wearing 21. Like, that's like, yes, like we celebrate your birthday. 21,
how about you do it on the 21st? Like,
but we always celebrate Roberto Clemente Day on the 9th. You're right. 21, September 20th. It just makes too much sense, Morenci, anyway.
You know what? I think there's a reason. I think it might have been the date.
There has to be.
Something. I think it's the anniversary or something. I'm sure we're jerks for whatever the reason it is.
Whatever it is, right, yeah, so it was an ignorant comment by me.
We'll bring. I shouldn't have brought it up. Well, that was your update. I was just following up.
I'm just reading the news.
Exactly.
Commentating on
so just quickly exactly. Before we get into the hockey and MMA, with his basketball game going off the board right now, in a minute, the total is skyrocketing right now. Everybody's jumping in on the over. I bet it earlier in the day. It was 221. It's up to 223 and a half right now. Milwaukee are minus six. So the final call, Cam's taking the Heat plus the points. I got Milwaukee to win the game. Parlayed with Oklahoma City plus the points, plus 174. I'm taking the over in the basketball game. And I've got Jimmy Butler over 22 and a half points. And I've got Chris Middleton over 2.5 three-point shots made in this game. All right, so let's bring Lou in. Right now, before we get to the MMA, we've got an NHL hockey game tonight. And Lou, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for joining us. And me and Cam were talking earlier. It's been amazing in the NHL playoffs over the last couple of days with the late goaltending changes and, you know, not even second string, but third string guys coming in, guys that haven't played in like 48 days or something, if not more. And they all win. It really is amazing. They've all won. And it's funny because I liked the Canucks last night. And then before the game, I see Markstrom. Like, what, Markstrom, what's this? And like, and then, you know, what, you know, beaten down and worn out and this and that. I'm like, oh, boy, Demko's playing. And then I'm like, you know what? You know, Hutchinson got it done the other day. Hell, a Zamboni driver won earlier in the year. Let's ride this. It really has been a strange run in the NHL, but I think it catches up to them tonight, and I'm not so sure old Starsky and Hutch can get it done tonight. What's up, Lou?
Not too much, guys. I appreciate you having me on. I'm loving hockey. I have to come clean. I think, and no excuses, I'm having an off year with hockey, although I've been much better in this second round. I believe that what's hampered me is the inability to watch 25 or 30 games before the playoffs started and to get a rhythm of who's playing how and which way. And it's been an unusual year. However, the hockey's been great, and we have a great game tonight.
Well, let me ask you guys then. And I was talking about this on the radio show last night with Tony Finn, one of Cam's favorites. Like NFL football, it's the same thing, Lou. Like normally, like, you know, and people say, oh, preseason doesn't matter. It does matter, all right? Like it doesn't matter what the record is, but it does matter if you're trying to study these teams and figure out their depth charts. and see who's good and where teams could be exposed and where they're thin. And, you know, you can learn a lot from the preseason. Not from every team, but, you know, generally you can. Secondly, this reminds me of almost the 80s, guys, where you need a team freaking newsletter to know what the hell's going on, right? Like, yeah. There's no media coverage of practices because there's a restricted access. Since there's no preseason games and there's limited practices, you're not allowed to report depth charts, guys. So, like, the media cannot report, oh, this guy's, like, practicing with the ones or the twos. It's basically like game week protocols throughout the entire training camp. So we don't know depth charts. We don't know. All you know is basically sort of what pops out of these practices. Oh, they look good. They look bad. No games. 10 practices with pads, Lou. And we're supposed to be betting on this stuff next Sunday. Week one, NFL. Good luck with that. You know, same thing with the NHL. You just hold your breath and hope the best.
With regard to the NHL, I was guarded entering the first round. With regard to the NFL, I will continue to be guarded, and not that I'll approach week one like the preseason, but I'll be very conservative in the first few weeks. And I pay special attention to contrarian approach, meaning let's let these parlay playing pukes move these numbers, because here's the one thing we know in week one. We don't know. So why pretend to know? Let's let everybody move the number. And if I see a number go from 6 to 4 or 4 to 6, I'm just going to go opposite, because I know one thing for sure and I can take it to my deathbed. Everybody doesn't know.
Lou joining us, calling us the parlay playing pukes. I'll appreciate not being called a puke, Lou. I'm a parlay playing pundit. Yeah, me there and Cam decided if you lose, you're a puke. If you win, puke. You're a parlay
you're
pundit.
A pundit.
You're a parlay pundit. If you lose, you're a parlay playing puke. That's
all
fair.
About the skin.
We'll accept that. So Stars and Avalanche tonight. I've been killing this series, actually. I was on
I like
Dallas
the series
early
too.
When everyone loved Colorado, I was playing Dallas.
True.
When everyone jumped on Dallas, I jumped on Colorado. I've been jumping on and off the merry-go-round pretty wisely, as Cam knows. And tonight, Cam, the musical chairs has me landing with the Big D and the Dallas Stars to get it done tonight.
I have no problem with that, Gabe. I'm just in a situation where the last time we talked to Lou got that series price when they were down big at plus 245. So here's the situation. If Colorado wins tonight, it goes to game 7. I'm in a situation because you've bet enough money. And I will tell you this, Dallas will be a dog in game 7. I like Colorado. I like the way they played in front of Hutchinson. They don't want to be, they have to protect him. They have a great defense. McKinnon knows what he needs to do. And I really like what I saw from the fourth line. All those guys, Belmare and all those guys looked fantastic the last game against Dallas. Not taking anything away from the Stars. They're a damn good team, and they just didn't show up. They were blitzkrieged when it was 5-0 by the Avalanche. I just got to think, you know, the cream rises to the top, Gabe, and I got no problem with your bet. This line opened up at Colorado minus 130. It's like a pick-up now. People are smashing Dallas, and I can understand why. Colorado has a third-string goalie there, but I'm going to rely on the talent, McKinnon, Landeskog, and the rest of these guys to bring it to a game 7. Then we're in a great hedge opportunity to see what we'll do there, but I'm on the Avalanche tonight, but I totally understand the Stars' love.
Lou, any opinion on this game? Any side or angle you like?
Yeah, I also last Wednesday took Colorado when they were down 0-2 at a plus large price like Cam.
Or something, yeah.
But with that said, tonight, I tend to lean with you, Gabe. I think it's Dallas. That said, what's sticking out to me is the total. And everybody's throwing a parade because this over has been such a cakewalk. It all stops tonight. And I'll tell you this, I've seen some 6.5s out there. I've already put on my webpage, go find the 6.5. And then go bathe yourself in that under tonight,
FanDuel
guys.
FanDuel has a 6.5. And yeah, you know what? I'm glad you brought this up, actually. Because, look, the lowest scoring game was 7 goals. You're right. It's been a goal fest. What is it, like 43 goals or something like that? Whatever. It's been an extreme goal fest. But I tell you what, last night, Lou, in the NBA, there was a game 7 between Denver and Utah. And in 14 games inside the bubble, the Denver Nuggets were 13-1 to the over. All right? The total last night was 221 for their basketball game. The final score was 80-78.
Yep.
Because it was a game 7. It's a slugfest, old school battle. And, you know, you get this 6.5 up on the board. Look at Vegas and Vancouver, another lower scoring game as well. I like your style with this, Lou, you know, thinking outside the box as everybody just keeps going back to the over.
Yeah, I really like the play. I want you to get that half. That's everything. It leaves you into in-game opportunities, which is really an underrated way to be betting hockey as well. But that's the angle I'll take. I'll hope for a great hockey game. I do hope for a game 7, which allows me to have options with that huge future bet on Colorado, like Cam.
Now, I will say this too, guys. After what happened with the goaltenders, think about it. You have a third stringer in Hutchinson and Bishop starting for Dallas who got shelled. What's the first thing the coaches are going to say? Protect the goaltender. Don't take unnecessary risks. Don't pinch.
Bishop bounces
Make sure
back.
You have your assignments. What?
Bishop bounces back.
That's kind of, well, that's my point is the attention to detail on both sides. Michael Hutchison's a third-string goaltender. They have to play a system. They have to protect him. As for Bishop, he was bad in that game. You know he's going to be better. He's Ben Bishop. That's why we're talking about the under in this game, too. The philosophy is, let's not have a track meet tonight. They got to protect these goalies. These guys can't afford to get down like 2-0, 3-0 early. I agree with you guys. Right. I think the under is the play.
Do we know Bishop's in?
I think they said Bishop in. That's why I saw one report that said he was in. Bishop and Hutchison.
So we're going to a break here just quickly. We like Ryu over 5.5 strikeouts, and I like the Toronto Blue Jays to win the game. This game's coming up in a couple of minutes. I also like Tyler Mahle over 5.5 strikeouts. Game time decision continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decision continues. I'm Arenzi. We're kicking it on the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates, whatever platform you are watching us on right now. LouGamblu.com. Joining us, busy night tonight, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Miami Heat. And then we've got a Game 7 tonight with the Houston Rockets, Oklahoma City Thunder, Game 6, Colorado Avalanche, and the Dallas Stars, UFC. Let's talk some MMA right now with Lou. Lou, let's get into the card here. Let's start off with the main event. We got Alistair Overeem and Sakai here. And, you know, I'm looking at this fight, Lou, and, you know, Overeem, I can never forget what Joey Odessa talked about Overeem years ago, stating that he's got a 185-pound chin on a 255-pound body. But he's really matured and become a smarter fighter over the years. And, you know, he used to be careless and just think that, you know, he could, you know, knock anybody out. So you've seen his maturity in the cage, and his big danger is basically, you know, some massive dude knocking him out. And, you know, when you look at Sakai isn't exactly a knockout machine. It's like, as far as heavyweight fighters are concerned, not the most powerful dude. To me, it looks like a very winnable fight for Alistair Overeem.
I completely agree. When you look at who Sakai has faced in the UFC, Chase Sherman, who's just a statue, Andre Arlovsky, who is a glacier, Marcin Tybura, who just is a total stand-up guy, and Ivan Blaga Ivanov, who is durable, but just plods ahead, and he's just a walking target. The competition Sakai has been in with is pedestrian compared to the decades-long pedigree that Overeem has. You've described him accurately, although he can, I will disagree. He can take a punch, but when he goes, he gets touched on the chin, he can go. And Sakai's only hope is to get in there and hit him on the chin. Sakai has power and explosion, I think, for a limited amount of time. This is a five-round scheduled fight. I'm fascinated at the line movement where I track things. Overeem opens minus 215. I wrote an article yesterday. He was minus 140. Now, depending where you shop, he's maybe minus 150. Watch the line closely. But at minus 150, Overeem is just an abundance of value. I think he dominates this guy from the outside. If he takes him down, he could submit him. The line has come your way. I've got my finger to drop. I'll watch it. If I see it tick up, I'm going to jump Overeem immediately.
Overeem up to minus 170 right now. And, as you stated, it was like minus 148 earlier in the week. And so it's starting to steam. It's interesting, too.
Out there it is.
Listen, Overeem's had a great career. If you look at his body of work and his durability, if you look, basically his resiliency, he's still fighting when so many of his competitors aren't around anymore. He's made a lot of money as well. That's one thing about Overeem. He makes a lot of money. He makes like $250,000 a fight. So, he's been racking up the millions over the years.
But what's he fighting
as well?
What's he fighting for, though? We know there's only one reason he's in there now. It isn't for money. He's fighting for one thing. The only title that's escaped him in
is the UFC,
combat
right.
sports, period. So he has his mind set on something here. I don't think we should underestimate him. The degradation against him is his age and his chin.
And the thing is, too, he's not all that far off. Like, yeah, you got Ngannou, and you got some guys, you got Blades, and there's guys, but when everything falls into place, he's not all that far. The thing with Overeem is he's dependable. He's like a big time gatekeeper now, right? It's like, and he'll show up. People like watching him fight because weird things and crazy things usually happen in his fights. But I like him here. I think he's gonna win this fight. All right, so OSP and Minifield, we talked about this fight. This fight was supposed to happen a couple of weeks ago, but it was postponed due to, it was what? Someone had coronavirus? Someone was camp or something? Yeah, it was OSP.
Yeah,
but he didn't have it, right? Someone in his camp had it, right?
No, he tested for it the day of the fight. And it must have been either a false positive or he never had symptoms, because how does he come back 2 weeks later without any issues? So it must have been fluky. I'm still waiting to get to some of the guys' interviews during fight week to let him explain it. But I feel the same way about him as I did 2 weeks ago. I think he's got the experience and the well-rounded game to beat this young Menafield. I think the extra time is a benefit to both, provided OSP was able to train, and that's what I'm waiting to find out.
I agree. You know what? I even think it's a good point. We need to know the situation, but I think it was like a false positive, one of those deals where he took the test and after he was negative, but it was too late, out of abundance of a caution. They had to, they had to scratch everything. Say what you will, man. Listen, the UFC's done a good job protecting everybody and pulling these cards off, and give them credit. They haven't forced anybody. Like, I don't mean force fighters, but I mean it hasn't been like, oh well, yeah, he's got a test, but he can fight. And no, he doesn't have any symptoms. It's fine. They bite the bullet. If you're a co-main event, it's too bad. You're off the card. If you're a prelim, too bad. You're off the card. I give Dana and I'll give the UFC credit for how they've handled this, and it's ironic because he hates it and probably doesn't believe in it at all, but he's done a great job managing it. It's one of those just realities.
I can't agree more with that statement. That what they just think about how complex it is to schedule 12 or 13 fights. That's 26 or so fighters per card, 40 or 44 cards a year. And now you add the complexities of COVID. How the UFC is continuing to march on through this is just a study in perseverance and tenacity. And I totally respect what they've done and thank them because they keep us working and talking.
All right, Lou, so before we get you out of here, because we've got to get some baseball picks and more, what did we miss on the prelim? We hit the main event, and the co-main event. Well, just for the record, I do like OSP here in this fight, so I like Overeem and OSP, but is there anything that we missed, and do you agree you like OSP here?
I do agree I like OSP, pending what I find out later in the week about how he handled COVID. There's a fighter on the card. There's two fighters on this card fought a month ago, Kelleher and Azur. Mm. Azur came into that fight a favorite. I touted him. Kelleher knocked him out. He had just had a kid. He came in. He spent himself early. He's coming now off the loss. He's fighting a long, lanky kid named Cole Smith that I believe is dangerous. He's going to have some reach on him. But Hunter Azur is going to use his wrestling and rub this kid out. I released it early in the week, minus 189 or 187 or so. He's maybe minus 200 or 210 now. I would suggest use Hunter Azur as one side of your parlay and then pick another side and make sure that you end up a pundit and not a puke.
LouGamblou.com. You can follow him on Twitter as well, at Gamblou, nice and simple. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us, Lou. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure. Good luck, everyone.
There's LouGamblou.com with us. Yeah, we're trying to be pundits, trust me. So
Yes.
Miami and Milwaukee. Miami and Milwaukee have begun. Miami Heat are leading early right now, 8-4. 8-4, yes. But we're real early. We're like 2 minutes in.
Exactly. Yeah, talk to me a little bit later. That's the thing. Yeah, 8-4, 9:37 left of the first. Yeah, we'll worry a little bit later.
8-5.
Oh, 8-5. No, 8-5.
8-5. Update.
That's getting closer.
So we threw it out there quickly. There's just so much going on. But I jumped on the Jays, man. Ryu's been on fire, Cam. No reason not to back him. He killed it throughout the month. I thought the number was a little low. With Ryu, I took the over 5.5 strikeouts, and Tyler Mahle was 5.5 strikeouts. The Cardinals can, once again, I'm not trusting the Reds here, Ken. I mean, it's the Cardinals just beat them every day.
I got to be honest with you. I didn't want to talk about this issue on the show today because you'll take a shot at me. I bet the Reds today coming off that
intervention time.
It's getting close. Like the Reds are like a drug, and you're going to have to like take it away from me. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, it's just, I just keep on coming back for more. But please don't, Cam. But, but I love it. I love it. Come on. I need more. Anyway, I like teams coming off that, off getting their butts whipped. And I will say this, Molly's actually a little bit underrated. I like your strikeout prop. I think the Reds get them today. But if they lose, I'm going to have to move forward without this team ever in my future. Like, I can't say, this is it.
I thought we went through this. We went through this the other day, like yesterday.
Yeah, we did. Cincinnati. But you don't listen to me about stuff too. So this Reds thing, I'm just kind of brushing it off too, right? I know I've warned you on stuff, but you're right. I'm not gonna lie. You've said it. You've said your piece, and it was well said.
Yeah, I just said
I gotta take them today. I just like the situation today. I was an idiot for betting them the other night with Sonny Gray. This is a different scenario though. Lower juice. Mahle's a little bit underrated.
They're not as bad. They're not as bad as I thought their record is. They're 15-21. Feels like they're like 9-28 or something.
Oh, yes. It does feel that way. Yes. Very much so.
So you took the Reds. You're on the Reds.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yes, I did. Yeah. I can't lie. I took the Reds and I took. That's correct. Yeah. That's absolutely true.
I'm on the Blue Jays.
I had the Rockies earlier today. That was a good comeback, but. Yeah, hopefully the Reds can score some runs. This team's starting to really upset me.
I've got more strikeout props here this evening. I tell you what, Cam, we've been killing the strikeout props.
No, that's your thing. You should just become the strikeout prop guy. Like, it's just amazing. Like, and the thing is, you're taking overs and they're all hitting. Like, it's wild. Like, that's the thing. These guys in today's baseball, if a pitcher stays in the game, That's what it is. Everybody's swinging for the fences. Nobody tries to hit singles anymore. Like everything, home run or bust. And that's why great for strikeout it? Over props.
Home run or strikeout. Home run or strikeout. Yep. That's modern baseball. So, yeah, we liked Ryu. Just for the record, if you still want to get in on the Blue Jays right now, the guy was unbelievable in the month of August. Five starts. He allowed one run or less in all five of those starts. He only walked six batters in 37 innings. He's 3-1 against the Marlins with a 2.23 ERA in his career. As far as strikeouts, over 5.5. He's gone over 5.5 strikeouts in four of his last five starts, Ryu has. Too late to get in on the Male strikeout prop right now. That's all we played there. But we have one with Max Scherzer. Listen, Max Scherzer hasn't had a great year, but I think he's starting to get a little bit healthier right now. 11 strikeouts in his last start. He's gone over 7.5 in two of his last three. How about this, too? If you want to jump in, if you think that the Nationals can stop the bleeding tonight, Scherzer's 5-0 with a 2.4 earned run average in his career in Philadelphia, 11-3 overall against the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm not asking them to win the game, but I think he can get over 7.5 strikeouts here. I like Javier later tonight with the Houston Astros. And I tell you what, Zach Gallen, 5.5. He can strike out 5.5 Los Angeles Dodger batters.
Damn right he can. I agree.
Best bets coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Cam, we're on the clock before we transition into in-game live. We're going to talk some golf during in-game live, keep you up to date as far as the Heat and the Bucks are concerned. But what are you looking at? What are the best bets, Cam?
Yeah, so far, me and you are both on the Jays. I also have the Reds, and we have Miami. These are the bets we have going on live tonight. A couple games, Gabe. I'm going to go back to the Rays tonight as a dog. Montgomery's the favorite. I'm going to get Tampa Bay at plus 115, the return of Morton. I don't know how it's going to go. It's a little bit of a risk, but you're going to give me this guy as a dog. I'm going to take it. And you want to talk about a worse team than the Reds as a favorite? They're the Milwaukee Brewers. I can't believe I haven't bet Detroit more in these games. I left that. That was the dog I left. That was the wrong dog I took last night. Pittsburgh almost came back. They lost by one. I'm going to tell you, man, you're getting 45 cents with the Tigers and Turnbull. You have a better pitcher going, and you're getting almost plus 150 against Milwaukee. I'm going to take a shot with the Tigers, Gabe. Oklahoma City, plus 5.5 in basketball.
I don't like the baseball card all that much. I've got a bunch of strikeout props, but as far as sides are concerned, I'm intrigued by a couple of the underdogs that we'll talk about on In-Game Live, including the Chicago White Sox tonight. But I've got enough strikeout props. I do like the Dallas Stars tonight, guys, so we'll pull a trigger on the Dallas Stars. I'm with Cam. I like the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think the Thunder win the game outright. I think they can win the game outright. But, you know, when you're getting – it's coming down. The 5.5s are gone, sitting at 5. And speaking of which, the Bucks are up 14-13 right now. And they're still early. Higher scoring game. The pace is on pace right now. In-game total is 228.5. I do like Oklahoma City tonight, plus the points. Really looking forward to this basketball game. Sitting at an even 5, 217 right now. And strikeout props that we're going to play, and we'll hit this on the other side with you, though. We like Max Scherzer over 7.5. We like Javier over 4.5. And we like Gallen over 5.5. All you got time to get all those in still. Scherzer over 7.5. Javier of the Astros over 4.5. Zach Gallen over 5.5 against the Dodgers tonight. We're also on the Dallas Stars in-game live with me and Cam coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.